open the Senate I'm going to open the Senate Committee on Rules for June 16th, 2009, and I will open a work session on House Bill 3004B.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3004.
Senator Metzger has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3004B. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3004B was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Metzger moves to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3004B was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. Motion passes.
Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which the Dash B-16 amendments were adopted.
Senator Metzger has moved that we reconsider the vote by which the Dash B-16 amendments were adopted. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash B-17 amendments.
Senator Metzger has moved the adoption of the B-17 amendments. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion passes.
Mr. Chair.
Clarification.
Yes.
Because I still want to ensure... If Senator Ferraioli so chooses, does he have to vote in the negative to be able to actually serve a minority report?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to withhold the final motion at this point then until he returns. If that was Senator Metzger,
that would be fine.
Then I'm going to close this work session. I will come back to it.
Yeah, let's do that. Be bipartisan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone? Do we have a person here to explain it?
No, 23.
Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2377B. Would the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2377 requires use of hands-free device to lawfully use a mobile communications device while operating a motor vehicle, expands list of exceptions to include public safety personnel, persons acting using the device in the scope of employment, and persons using devices that allow for voice communication only one way at a time, designates as a primary offense, and as a Class C traffic violation, punishable maximum fine of $90.
The amendment that was going to be offered was an amendment to make it a secondary offense. I don't believe we're going to offer that amendment today. Do we have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2377 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Metzger has moved House Bill 2377B to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, this is a very interesting bill, and just for a little background, I've had a similar bill in my Committee on Business in 01, 03, 05, and 07. To be very candid, I was asked whether I wanted this bill in my committee this time, and I said no because I didn't know if there was any votes in my committee for it. I've actually had an epiphany on this bill, truthfully so. My biggest concern about the cell phone was whether this was an intrusion unnecessarily for all the different reasons that while anytime you're distracted, it is bad for driving, but trying to point out one thing I thought was, at the time especially, was unwise. But what I have noticed personally, and I'm always late to the party technology-wise, okay, is the last 36 months for me anyway, maybe 40 months, is the advent of texting. You know, and I was ejecting the cell phone as people on phone. Now they're sitting there texting. I've actually done that myself and realize I am not a good driver while texting. I don't know how you separate the use of the phone, punching in numbers, legally in terms of legislation, as to punching in text numbers. I don't know how you do that. Having been almost hit twice in the last 3 weeks with someone who I could see on the steering wheel was looking down texting rather than watching, that's where my epiphany came from. And I said, we've got to do something about that. And so I'm going to not only support the bill in committee, Mr. Chair, I will support this on the floor enthusiastically because technology now has got to a point where I think this is really serious to the health of people on the highway.
Okay. Okay, Senate Bill 2377 has been moved to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Could the clerk please call the roll?
That's the cell
phone.
Okay.
Oh, please.
No.
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Metzger. Aye.
Mr. Ferriero.
No.
Aye. Motion passes. Senator Burdick has asked to carry.
You did?
I did.
I'm going to call you during your floor speech.
Yeah, we'll go to 3004.
Oh, let me confer with the Senator. The objections that I raised yesterday were not shared by the
Because, you know, it's a slippery slope. The next thing we're going to be able to legislate with the cell phone.
True.
Unsafe votes are taking place with people texting.
That's true.
Okay, I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 3004B as amended. Senator Metzger, will you give your motion now?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3004B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, House Bill 3004B as amended has been moved to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection?
Yes.
Okay. Could you call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferraoli?
Yes.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. We'll look for a carrier at a later time. 3090. We will be at ease for just about 20 seconds. Was going to go to House Bill 3090, but we're going to hold that off till the end of the meeting to see if we can get a fiscal statement. And I will open a public hearing on 3484. And can the committee administrator give a brief overview? And Representative Esquivel, if he is here, if you can please come forward.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3484A establishes operating standards and standards of conduct for exchange facilitators, requires exchange facilitators to provide notice of change in control and specifies notice requirements, requires exchange facilitators to maintain the equivalent in assets of at least $1 million, requires them to maintain errors or omissions insurance of not less than $250,000, requires them to invest exchange funds at the prudent investor standard that satisfies the goals of liquidity and principal preservation.
Representative Esquivel, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6. Senators, you have in front of you House Bill 3484, which comes to us actually after the fact. And let me first of all explain what an IRC 1031 is. It's an exchange where you sell a property you give the money to a facilitator, and the facilitator holds the money at bay for you to identify and purchase a like property or a similar property. If you touch the money, you automatically have to pay capital gains on that money, even if it passes through your hand. For the facilitation system has been set up to allow you, by the IRS, to not touch that money, hold it at bay, and purchase a new like property for the future of a deferment of the taxes. Now, it's a pretty simple system, except they've never been regulated, which surprised me. This particular bill you have in front of you is now active in two or three other states that are just starting to catch on to this. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of this being a consumer protection bill. We had in Oregon a business that was purchased, a facilitation business that was purchased by an individual. The individual used the monies that was in the facilitation fund in his own business and lost that money. I'm going to take that a step farther. Nationwide, there has been over $200 and some million in losses because of lack of oversight and lack of regulation on facilitators in this 1031 exchanges. That is why we are here today, Senators, because it's time that we as a state, went along with, I believe it's Colorado, I believe there's another state, that Colorado and Utah, I think it is, that have adopted this particular oversight, and we need to ensure that people in the state of Oregon, which has happened here in Central Oregon, do not lose $10+ million because of lack of regulation. This bill you have in front of us makes it legitimate. It makes it mandatory that you have certain criteria, but more importantly, we have some sort of a handle on you as a facilitator. So I'm available for questions.
Any questions for Representative Esquivel? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here in the audience planning to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Are there no amendments to the bill? Do we have fiscal and revenue statement?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a motion?
Open a work session.
I will open work session. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3484A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 3484A to the floor with the do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Do I have a volunteer to carry? Would a volunteer please lean back?
Mr. Chairman, there must be someone on the Senate floor with an excellent grasp of
We will look for a potential carrier.
Yes, that person, Mr. Chair, would not be me.
Okay.
Close expert on fiscal system. Matters. Yeah.
No volunteer.
Oh. I think we should do 2186.
Yeah,
okay. 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 I will open a work session on 2186B. Can the committee administrator give just a brief overview, and then Mr. Ginsburg, will you come forward and explain the bill in some detail?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2186B, we're going to talk about the dash B20 amendments, which replaces the measure, requires the Department of Environmental Quality to conduct a study of potential requirements regarding maintenance or retrofitting of medium and heavy-duty trucks in order to reduce aerodynamic drag and greenhouse gas emissions. Includes as part of the study potential restrictions on engine use by parked commercial vehicles, requires report to legislature on study on or before October 1, 2010, authorizes Environmental Quality Commission to adopt requirements to prevent tampering, alteration, and modification of original design or performance of motor vehicle pollution control system, authorizes EQC to adopt restrictions on engine use by parked commercial ships while at port, and requirements that ports provide alternatives to engine use, such as electric power, requires that ship idling restrictions be developed in consultation with representatives of Oregon ports, authorizes the Environmental Quality Commission to adopt low-carbon fuel standards, directs DEQ to report on implementation to interim legislative committees on or before December 31, 2010, and 76th, 77th, and 78th Legislative Assemblies, declares emergency effective upon passage. You also see the Dash B21 amendments, which requires that the Environmental Quality Commission adopts rules regulating low-carbon fuel standard. Environmental Quality may or may not adopt requirements related to carbon offsets.
Okay. Please identify yourself for the record and then give a full explanation of the amendment.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Andy Ginsberg. I'm the Air Quality Administrator with DEQ. And just to clarify, Mr. Chair, would you like me to describe, which amendments did you want me to describe?
The Dash, the S20s.
Dash B20s.
B20, okay. Mm-hmm. So this bill addresses greenhouse gas emissions from transportation. And it has been narrowed substantially from the original version that was introduced on behalf of the governor at the beginning of the session. The original bill covered more than just transportation, and as in the Senate Environment Committee, provisions related to greenhouse gas-containing products were removed from the bill. So this bill only addresses transportation at this point. The Dash B20 amendments would further narrow the bill in the following ways. First, it it eliminates all of the provisions that have to do with tire efficiency. So the provisions of the bill that would have authorized the commission to set tire efficiency standards would be removed by the B20 amendments. Second, it changes the provisions related to truck efficiency and idling from authorization for the commission to require rules to a study. And under the B20 amendments, the Department of Environmental Quality would evaluate provisions related to truck efficiency, aerodynamics, and idling, and report to the interim committees in October. So that's been converted into a study. And then the provisions related to the low-carbon fuel standard have a sunset under the B20 in 2015, so it would be an authorization for a few years, and then the authority would sunset. The remaining provisions of the original bill are essentially unchanged. So the primary effect of the B20 amendments, again, would be to eliminate tire efficiency, to convert the truck provisions into a study, and then add a sunset for the low-carbon fuel standard. So I can provide any amount of additional information or detail that you would like. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Questions from the panel? Yes, Senator.
Ms. Ginsberg, how much does that study cost the taxpayer?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, the department plans to do this within existing resources. It will require us to stop doing some other work that we currently are doing. So in total, our fiscal impact on the bill, I believe, is a half an FTE of existing resources that would be converted into doing this study. So it's not huge, but it is an impact on the agency. Some other work that we would have done, we won't be able to do. Having said that, if I could just add, I think it will be valuable information. This provision could be very important in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from trucks and while saving truckers money, because it would reduce fuel consumption by trucks by in the order of 5%, and likely will be able to pay for itself very quickly. So I think we'll conclude at the end of the study that it's a very cost-effective measure, and we'll bring you back a recommendation in the next session to reconsider it.
Thank you. Follow-up? Ms. Ginsberg, that was a beautiful filibuster, but that's not what I asked. I didn't ask about FTEs or existing funds or policy choices. I said, how much does the study cost the taxpayer?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, I'm not sure I understand the question.
How much money does it cost me? $50,000? Does it cost me $30,000? Does it cost me $120,000? How much money?
To the extent that we're shifting a half an FTE from other work, that would probably be in the range of $100,000 to $150,000 of cost for half an FTE that otherwise would have been working on other air quality work that will now be working on this. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Any additional? Just so that the audience understands what the plan is today, we're going to adopt the Dash 20s, or they're going to have a motion to adopt the Dash 20s. Then we're going to close the work session, and we're going to actually talk to the proponents and opponents for each of them to have a panel tomorrow before this committee in work session. The panel will be approximately four people each. This is the Rules Committee. Tomorrow may be the final day of the Rules Committee meeting on bills. And so that will be the plan on this. Did you have any more that you needed to add? I was out of the room and back in. Okay. Any additional questions? Is that his amendment? Dash 20 is the amendment. Which amendment is the one?
This is it.
Dash 21. Mm-hmm. No, this is the primary amendment.
Yeah, 20 is the primary amendment.
21
is the
primary amendment. Can we be at ease for a moment? I have a motion on the Dash 20s.
Mr. Chair,
are we in work session on the bill?
Okay, we were in work session to begin with. We're back in session.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the Dash 20 amendments to House Bill 2186B.
Okay. Senator Burdick has moved the Dash 20 amendments to House Bill 2186B. Any discussion? Would you please call the roll?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Now, I will be closing the work session. I would ask after this meeting for someone from the opponents of the bill and someone from the proponents of the bill to approach me after this meeting, and we'll set up the process tomorrow for the panels to speak before the committee.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Before you tap out,
yes.
I would like to just publicly appreciate the opportunity for the panels to appear to discuss the amendments, since I know the amendments were only made available just a few minutes before the hearing. And I think it's an excellent consideration that the chairman is giving that proponents and opponents can appear tomorrow as a panel to discuss the merits of the issue.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. I think also the issue was that, well, the amendments in a sense reflect some of the content of the original bill. They are, in effect, replacing the original bill. So I at least wanted to give some opportunities for parties to testify.
Chair, I would concur, and I would also say that Mr. Ginsburg is a fine professional, and he did a very nice job on a difficult question. I also think that we should probably find a way for this committee to apply for that half FTE job, because $100,000 is a good chunk.
And that is for a biennium. That's not for 1 year. Okay, I'll close this work session.
We can go back to this one. The Secretary is here.
Okay. She's there. I'll do this one really quick. Can I do this one painfully, but do it really quick?
It's like tearing off a Band-Aid, Mr. Chairman. The faster
3090,
you do it,
clotheslines.
The less.
No, I'm ready.
I'll open a work session on 3090. Do I have a motion on the Dash?
Mr.
Chair. The committee administrator. Let's see if we have the right dashes.
Yep.
Right dashes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we last heard this bill on June 10th, at which time we adopted the -A7 amendments. We now have a -A8 amendments, which does encompass the -A7s and adds additional piece, which establishes that Act does not authorize an owner to install a renewable energy device in or on common property or property maintained by homeowners association, establishes that Act does not prohibit inclusion in declaration or bylaws of a provision that would establish reasonable restrictions on size, appearance, or location of renewable energy device without impairing effective operation. We have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the -B8s. We do have to back out of the -A7 amendments and then adopt the -A8 amendments.
So,
you want a motion, Mr.
Do we have to? Yes, you're getting the motion.
I think I remember how to do it. I move, Mr. Chair, I move reconsider the vote by which the -A7 amendments were adopted.
Okay, it has been. Senator Burdick moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the -A7 amendments. Is there
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
A procedural question, since
yes.
It's been a little while since I've backed out a motion. Does that require a rule suspension?
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, it does not, because we did not move the bill out of committee. We just adopted the amendments, so we can, within a work session, back out of just the amendments.
Mr. Chairman, had that motion required a rule suspension, we would have offered a rule suspension.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Farrelly. Any additional discussion? Any objection? Seeing none. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt the -A8 amendments to House Bill 3090.
Senator Burdick has moved the -A8 amendments. Is there any discussion?
There is.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just want to publicly thank you for hearing this bill, because when this bill was before another committee, we were in a great rush to go to the bipartisan pole pedal paddle team event. And that night, as I should have been preparing for a race and getting a good night's sleep and drinking lots of water, I was having a nightmare about this bill. And here it is before me again, and I get an opportunity to express my true discomfort for it by once again being able to vote no, of which I'm very thankful. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're quite welcome. Any additional? Would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson.
No.
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Farrelly.
No.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion carries. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chair, I move the rule be suspended.
No.
We don't need to do that?
No.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3090 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved House Bill 3090 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, will you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson.
No.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
Aye.
Mr.
Ferriero? No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Senator Dingfelter will carry.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair.
Yes. you only get one.
But already report on clothesline?
Yes.
With the relating clause that beautiful, I can be confident that we can have a minority report to House Bill 3090. So served.
Okay. Senator Atkinson has served notice of a potential minority report to House Bill 3090. If you could please note that for the record. We will now go to our final bill
thank
for
you,
consideration
Senator
today.
For the thrill.
Senator Burdick, I know that you'll need to return to your committee. I do not know how controversial the next bill will be, but I may have to pull you back.
Okay,
actually,
Mr. Chair, thank you very much for your indulgence.
Okay, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3237A. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview, and can the Secretary of State come forward with whomever she wants to bring with her?
Mr. Chairman,
I like this.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3237A requires ballot title and outer envelope of a ballot to state that it contains a vote on proposed tax increase or a vote authorizing renewal of current local option taxes. It modifies methodology county clerks use to create, combine, or divide voter precincts. It requires county clerk to ensure that each precinct is not the same in the same congressional and legislative district. It sets the effective date for precinct changes on or after January 1, 2012. It requires the county clerk to electronically send precinct results to the Secretary of State as soon as possible after an election, which applies to elections held on or after January 1, 2010. It requires Secretary of State and county clerk to permit authorized person to observe verification of signatures on a state initiative petition or prospective petition for state measure to be initiated. And if House Bill 2005 from this session passes, the following will become enacted. A chief petitioner may not be held criminally liable for a violation committed by a person obtaining signatures on their behalf, and that a contractor may not be held criminally liable based on a violation committed by a subcontractor on their behalf applies to violations that occur on or after January 1, 2010.
Okay. Madam Secretary?
Thank you. Proceed. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Kate Brown, Oregon Secretary of State. Thanks for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 3237. The bill incorporates some agreed-upon changes to House Bill 2005, which you just passed yesterday. One, it addresses a provision that Mr. Day requested. The purpose of the original bill, House Bill 2005, was to allow chief petitioners to designate an agent to sign employee paperwork. The provision was written too broadly in the underlying bill, and this narrows that designation. That's at Mr. Day's request. We have an agreement on that. It also clarifies our intent that there needs to be independent evidence to hold chief petitioners and contractors criminally liable for their criminal acts of their signature gatherers. I'm happy to give examples if the chair desires, but I think it's fair to say with the good Senator George and myself here, that means there's fairly broad agreement that the amendments need to be made, and we would urge an aye vote on the bill.
Okay. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Larry George, State Senator from Senate District 13. When House Bill 2005 was making its way through the process, there were some issues brought up. I'm always concerned about the initiative process. Went down and talked with the Secretary, and I think that the belief of the office was that we generally agreed on what there was trying to be accomplished in 2005. But we were concerned that the language was too broad, and the Secretary was kind enough to agree that even though she thought the language was fine the way it was, is to adopt these amendments into House Bill 3237, and we truly appreciate it. She's incredibly fair-minded and addressed my issues right away, so I'd urge an aye vote.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Yes, Senator.
Just a comment, and I appreciate both of you bringing this forward. I remember that was a concern of mine. Not being a legal mind, I certainly shared the Secretary's intent. So, I just think this does make it more clear, and I appreciate Mr. Day and Mr. George working on this, because we don't want to discourage people from being chief petitioners based on, even if it's not accurate information, we do want to make it as clear as possible that that we're not intending to impede a process, and I think that helps.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, I also appreciate Senator George and Mr. Day coming forward and talking with me about their concerns. I think we felt comfortable with the original language. Our lawyers did as well. But I'm also pleased to have everyone in agreement with the additions made to the language, and I think it makes a much better bill. So we really appreciate their assistance and their bringing this forward.
Any questions? Do I need to bring Senator Davis down? Okay. Oh, do we have any? We have a few more people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator George, if I decide to do so, would you like to carry this bill?
I suppose I could.
Yes. Okay. Justin Black and David Williams and Jan Coleman. Please proceed, whoever.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, Justin Black from the Oregon Education Association, representing 48,000 members throughout the education system. We come in support of House Bill 3237. I feel like we're just a little bits of it after the Secretary and Senator George were here. But there are a couple other provisions that wanted to bring to your attention. The first is in Section 1. We are hoping to do some clarifying language around local options for local districts. Currently on the outside of the ballot, if there is a a new local option tax or a renewal of a local option tax, it says this ballot contains a vote on tax or vote on tax increases. We want to change the language so that it acknowledges that when a local district, specifically or any local district, comes out with a renewal of their tax option, that the outside of the envelope say contains renewal of tax option. The second part is Section 3. We've run across some precinct issues when we look at school bond races and other school or other elections. A number of precincts cut around legislative districts so that someone living in a precinct in Benton County, half the precinct lives in one representative district, the other half lives in another representative district. So this just clarifies language that precincts should be contained within a legislative district. Another portion of that is to deal with island precincts so that precincts are contiguous. The next section is Section 4, which deals with the Secretary of State's office and local county clerks, and I think they're actually already working on this, but to have county clerks send electronic results to the Secretary of State instead of the current paper system that a number of them work with. We've seen a few errors and a few returns just from transfer of, you know, I don't know if it's someone transposing numbers or what, but just this will hopefully clean up that section. And then the final section is, as you probably know, our members are very active in the initiative process, and we just wanted to put forward some clarifying language that guarantees proponents and opponents the right to witness the verification process of signatures both at the county level and at the state level within reason. And with that, I will close. Thanks.
Mr. Williams. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Williams with the Oregon School Boards Association here to lend support as well for House Bill 3237, and specifically the Section 1 language. We really view that as truth in advertising as more and more school districts look to the local option levy vehicle for raising additional dollars locally and are now in the process of renewing those local options. We really think the voters are better informed on the accuracy of what that vote is rather than what the ballot says currently, and urge an aye vote on the bill. Thank you very much.
Okay. Ms. Coleman.
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Jan Coleman. I'm with the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Our biggest problem is with the Dash 5 amendment, which was added. Needless to say, we don't have any problem with the Secretary of State part. But with the Dash 5 amendments, we have one real concern, and we have discussed this with Justin, and our concern is with the contiguous precinct part, and that also goes along with this map I just had passed out to you. When we have precincts and when we have the census and realign everything, we do start out with contiguous precincts for the most part. Once in a while, when they draw lines for the resensusing, they create a problem for us. But when you have growing communities, this is the community of Hillsborough on this map. When you have growing communities, what happens is certain parts get annexed into the city. You could have several pieces of property, and this part gets annexed, this part gets annexed, this part gets annexed, but the middle piece is still not annexed. That creates an island, okay? We don't have any control over that. That's part of growth and so forth. That's what also creates non-contiguous precincts, because that little island still has to be part of the precinct that is not part of the city. So this is where our problem comes in. We don't have any problem with making Senate and Rep districts, the precincts align with those. We don't. But we do have a problem because with growth, this just happens. So that's our main problem with the bill. It does create some costs for us as far as new language. We have to get more envelopes with more language, more storage. That amounts over a year's time to around $90,000. that's just something, because we have to have a third set of envelopes to store, it creates, when we insert, it creates more problems and so forth. But those we're willing to deal with. It's the contiguous precincts that we're having a problem with. We did a little more study on this. Multnomah County did some looking into theirs. They had 40 parcels in 13 precincts that would require 27 new precincts. Lane County, when they got all said and done, they would have an additional 399 precincts. And many of these precincts, unfortunately, and this is the biggest problem, would have maybe 1 to 2 voters. And these guys don't want to know how those people voted. We don't either. So that is our biggest problem, is by not letting us continue with these islands in that manner, it creates a problem for the voter as well.
Okay. Mr. Black, do you want to comment on that?
Sure. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, you know, when we were originally looking at this, you know, we looked at a number of counties and how their precincts were conformed, and I agree with Ms. Chambers on this, that you know, there are all these little islands around, and when we met, we talked about the fact that this does not come into effect until after the next redistricting, and I do think that it's still a problem that needs to be fixed, either through the way that cities treat precincts or the counties treat precincts, because there are a number of precincts that you know, a city line will cut right through the middle of, but then there are other counties that handle their precincts differently. So I'm hoping that this gets us at least towards in a step positive of figuring out a way to create a universal rule around how precincts and cities interact.
Okay. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On this particular issue, I think that I would be more than willing, and I'm pretty sure the Secretary of State would be more than willing, to look at, to see if there's any additional modifications we need to make, we could make in February. But also the reality, I can actually guarantee you that I will be here in February, barring that if I'm still alive. I can't guarantee you that I'll be here in 2011.
Mr. Chair.
But I think this is a long-term issue, because I've dealt with island precincts before, too. Senator Ferrioli.
Mr. Chairman, it would seem to me that the issue is the mandate of an approach to deal with the islands.
Yeah.
Rather, perhaps we should consider requiring the Secretary of State to confer with the elections officials of the 36 counties to arrive at an approach for dealing with the issue of island precincts, rather than mandating in this legislation that they be standalone, because the addition of 399 precincts in the example of Lane County must be repeated in other urbanized counties in Oregon.
Yeah.
So I would think that rather than create, you know, potentially thousands or even tens of thousands of new precincts, what we'd want to do is require that the experts in operations for elections, which are the county elections officials and the Secretary of State, confer perhaps with the stakeholders who are bringing the bill on an approach to deal with that, and then instead of the fallout of the mandate, which would have many unintended consequences, in the next legislative session, whenever that comes, perhaps we would be dealing with recommendations for that, for an approach.
I should say, Chair Devlin, Senator Ferrioli, we've talked about getting together after session and coming up with kind of an agreed upon approach, because, you know, and that's one of the things I try to, or what I'm hoping that is, because this doesn't come into effect until 2012, I believe, that we do have a little bit of time to work on it and come up with some agreed upon guidelines or language.
But in the meantime, Mr. Chair, the counties, in anticipation of this going into effect, would still have to map, you know, and at least prepare to implement some elements of this island annexation issue, at least in anticipation of whatever we do. I would just, if none of this goes into effect until 2012, perhaps the mandate should come out and the study should proceed between now and 2012. But it's just a suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Could I have Mr. Pack come forward, seeing if he has a suggestion?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Barry Pack, Deputy Secretary of State. I only caught the beginning of the good Senator Ferriolli's questions from my office and came down here. So,
the basic testimony that we received from Ms. Coleman was is that a number of counties, obviously for various reasons, I remember in some of my own, because we used to have a boundary commission that basically just let anybody out of an annexation that wanted to be out of an annexation. So that created just literally dozens of islands all over the place. Is by mandating this, I think Ms. Coleman has indicated that they will basically have to create, well, in one case she gave in Layton County 300 new precincts.
399.
Although they would have till 2012 to resolve this issue.
Hey, Senator Devlin, Annette Newingham, who's a county clerk down there, contacted her GIS person, and I can read you the email here. It says, we've currently have 83 unique precincts in the county. For those, 47 consist of single contiguous polygon. GIS deals with polygons, so a precinct would be a polygon, just to give you that. Another 21 have from 2 to 9 pieces of parts. The other 15 have 10 or more parts. The worst offender, and he names the one, is consists of 100 separate parts. The grand total is 482 polygons. Compared to 83 precincts we have now, that would require an additional 399 precincts.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it seems to me that this is a significant issue that we would want to take a look at for our good county clerks. I think that we would be happy to convene a work group among the cities and the counties who have to address these issues. In the interim, we're already bringing them all around a table to talk about the cost of elections. Anyway, we can add this to the list on the agenda, and I'm sure they'd be happy to talk about it. I guess I would say that we do believe that other portions of House Bill 3237 are very important, and we would certainly like to see them get passed before the end of the session, and perhaps this is something that we can address and bring back to the 2010 session.
Okay. Any additional questions?
I think that's a great suggestion.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's be at ease for a moment. I haven't really closed that. Mr. Pack, would you like to comment on the suggestion that you may have overheard?
Mr. Pack, Mr. Chairman, I'll make the suggestion into the microphone for the record, if you prefer.
Yes.
Mr. Pack, I was just curious to know if there's much in this bill that appears to be extremely important to a variety of people, and I wouldn't want to impede that. The question is if the mandate to create a separate precinct from all of the islands, or to have each precinct created individually, were removed, would that be fatal to the rest of the bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferriolli, in our view, no, we are not the main proponents of the changes around the precinct that are in this bill. This bill originated in the House and sort of became a very convenient vehicle for other issues that were moving through the process. And so there are a number of interested parties who have pieces of this bill. That is not a piece of our bill. I might encourage you to ask Mr. Black
so that
question.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be the perfect description of the process of accretion, where gravel ends up on one side of the river or the other. So all the gravel has attached itself to this bill. It has accreted. Mr. Black, if Mr. Black is the right person to ask that question to, I'd certainly ask it of him.
Okay. For the sake of clarification here, the bill appears to mandate the creation ultimately in 2012 of the precincts, but it does not include the study.
No, Chair Devlin, Senator Ferriola, I understand that there are other portions of this bill that are much more important on a larger scale, and I don't think, a study would be great. I think that would get us to where we want to be, is just so that, the confusion that is created by these little precincts, and I think you guys have the map of just all these little pockets here and there that all happen to be in the same precinct. If the end result is that we look at it and figure out a better way to design precincts so that doesn't happen, that's, where we would like to end. I think I concur with the Deputy Secretary, is just worried that you guys seem to be in an awful big hurry to leave town, possibly.
And not alone. A lot of people want us to
Can I make a suggestion?
I would venture to say, Mr. Chairman, that most of the residents of Marion County are in a hurry to see us leave.
Okay. I'll go second, Senator Metzger, in a second. If we were to change the language here so that it would say something to the effect of each precinct to the greatest extent feasible should be contiguous, I can get that amendment crafted by tomorrow. Can I get a fiscal and revenue statement for that amendment?
Yes.
Can I get agreement from my friends across the aisle not to offer a minority report, because I got to get this back for concurrence?
Mr. Chairman, you can move the bill in its current form if you wish without objection, or you can attempt not to harm the process or do the repairs if you wish.
Okay.
I think the outcome of a request for a motion would be the same in either case.
Okay. Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, whatever you wish, I'm happy to go along. My own suggestion would be, because Section 3 does not become operative until 2012, and just the way we're moving, changes require concurrence. There are some very important things in this bill that I know a few of our colleagues who just testified worked on. I'll do whatever you wish. I would prefer just to move the bill as is, and therefore it's done. We can study this issue, because I think it may take more than a word change to actually get around to what we're trying to do, and modify that section in February of 2010, still 2 years before the otherwise operative date, but then not necessarily have a problem with the rest of the bill going through another chamber again.
Okay. I think your advice is good advice, Senator Metzger. Okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Are we in work session?
We're still in public hearing. I will close. We're still committed to resolving your problem, Ms. Coleman, but I will close the public hearing and open a work session.
Senator Metzger wishes to make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
I wish to make a motion that would move House Bill 3237 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Metzger has moved House Bill 3237 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Senator Metzger, will you carry?
Sure.
Okay. Actually,
unless I'm on the podium.
Or I'll ask Senator George if he wants to carry.
That would
if
be
he
better.
Doesn't,
that
we'll
would be
explain
excellent.
The other issue that has come forward, and then Senator Metzger will
there
carry.
You go.
With that completes our work for today. We will be back here tomorrow sometime in the mid-afternoon. Given the extent of the Senate's agenda on the floor tomorrow, I think we'll probably have an afternoon agenda. That we're adjourned.